Welcome to the Pilot Podcast,
where we watch the pilot episodes of TV shows to answer your question, should I watch this?
My name is BJ.
And my name is Me Too.
And we've made it through 2020, and now...
That's such an accomplishment.
It's time for us to highlight our favorite shows that came out this year.
Yes, in this year that felt like 20 years all in one, we also watched television. And so of the shows that we reviewed this year, we are picking some of our favorites across a few genres.
And before we get into our shows, we also want to highlight that this year we had some new streaming platforms giving us opportunities for new shows, such as HBO Max. Very exciting. There are actually some shows from HBO Max on our list. Peacock, still a strange name, but also has some good content. And then rest in peace, Quibi. It was a strange format. Some of us didn't get it. And really, the world didn't want it.
R.I.P. Quibi, we hardly knew ye. Though, for my murder mystery hive, all of Murder, She Wrote is on Peacock. For free.
That right there should be enough of a reason to create a free account.
Ooh, Steven Universe Hive, all of Steven Universe and Steven Universe Future is on HBO Max.
And a lot of other great stuff, which we'll talk about.
Yes.
So how about we start with your favorite genre of television, comedy?
Okay, this is tough because there were quite a few comedies we reviewed this year that I enjoyed. I have taken every single episode of this show and interviews we've done on other shows, it feels like, to talk about Teenage Bounty Hunters on Netflix, which I loved. And so I want to show love to that show, even though it was canceled after one season, unfortunately. And I also want to show love to another show that was unfortunately canceled after one season, Astronomy Club, the sketch show. It came out at the top of this year, so I think it has dropped off of a lot of radars. But it's just really good sketch comedy, and I don't typically enjoy sketch comedy, but that pilot episode was so funny. They had the main sketches that they were doing, but they also had this through-line sketch of almost like a real world of the people in the sketch group navigating their new roles. And so it was just really funny, and I found myself enjoying all of it. And I remember it doing really well on Rotten Tomatoes and with lots of other critics and reviews. So Gone But Not Forgotten, Astronomy Club.
You and your unpopular opinions.
I know. Well, I feel like they're not unpopular. Just not enough people watched, I guess.
Isn't that the same thing?
But like Rotten Tomatoes, and isn't it certified fresh?
Probably from that small group of people who paid attention to it.
True. Okay, it's an unpopular opinion.
It makes you quirky and unique.
Oh, wow. I should star in a movie with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You should. You'd probably make a lot of money.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Okay, Beach, what was your favorite comedy? Because you are not really a comedy person.
Nope. As you've once said, I don't like laughter or joy.
Okay, you held on to that.
But I did enjoy laughing while watching The Great on Hulu. So to remind everyone, this is this loosely based story of Catherine the Great, the Empress of Russia, and her rise to power when she married the Emperor of Russia, starring Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult. I didn't really think I would like a historical comedy drama, but the absurdity of the Emperor and the naive nature of this future empress, Catherine the Great, made for this great witty combination. I remember that Catherine's, not even friends, just her royal court were entertaining. The emperor's people around him, how they treated him and reacted when he wasn't around was funny. Really, this is just one of those shows where you're watching it to see basically, people talk about each other behind their back.
That's a good point. I really enjoyed The Great. And that's not typically a genre I enjoy or a time period I care about covering in media. But it was so funny and so well written. And despite its setting, the comedy felt fresh.
They do take advantage of saying this is loosely based on historical events. So they can add in the fun, more modern elements.
Yes. So, Beach, now we're getting more into your zone. You know, you like to feel a little sad when you watch things. Oh. You like to be put through the ringer, it seems.
Wow.
What was your favorite drama that we reviewed this year?
Okay. Hands down, Upload on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
It has a little bit of a comedic vibe, but it is a serious concept of these people uploading their consciousness to go to a virtual afterlife and bringing up those questions of what do you do with basically virtual immortality? Also, there's socioeconomic questions. Can you fall in love with someone who is just a virtual brain? Lots of fun questions like that. It stars Robbie Amell. He did a great job. And Andy Allo. She's also great. And I have to say, I was not really expecting to like it, but I quickly fell in love with it and quickly binged it after we reviewed.
You did binge it, and my partner did too, and he doesn't binge a lot of shows, and you don't binge a lot of shows.
No, it takes a very special, popular show for me to binge.
Okay.
It got
renewed.
Okay,
Mr. Popular. Okay, Mr. Homecoming King. We get it. We get it.
So what drama did you like this year?
Okay, sticking with the theme of a little underrated, I think because this show came out, I want to say in February. So it was before we took seriously everything going on in the world. And I think it fell off a lot of radars. I'm talking about Cherish the Day on OWN. Each episode takes place over 24 hours, and in the anthology, we track the development of a relationship between two people over, I believe, 5 years. And Kosha Rockmore, who plays Gently, just gives this beautiful, stunning performance, and she has this palpable chemistry with Evan, played by Alano Miller. And it just was a beautiful love story, and you get swept up in it, and he is from a rich family, and she's from a working class family, and she has a cool dynamic where she's a caretaker to this older gentleman, and so you get to see that different sort of love grow as well between the two of them. And it was just a very beautiful love story, and it's nice to see a love between two Black people blossom like this. It was just nice.
Good chemistry between them.
Yes, very good chemistry.
So how about we move to another one of your favorite genres, reality TV. What were some of your highlights? I know you had a tough time picking one show as the best of this year.
Okay, peeking behind the curtain, both BJ and I had trouble, not just me. I know typically when we do these countdowns, I'm not good at picking just one, and I'm not going to get any better today. So I want to do a couple honorable mentions before I name my favorite. First, I want to shout out We Are Here, which is starring Bob the Drag Queen, Shangela, and Eureka O'Hara. And they go to these different small towns and put on drag shows starring people from those towns for different reasons. Maybe it's someone who wants to come out as queer to their family. Maybe it's someone who wants to show themselves as an ally. In one of the episodes, it was a parent who had initially been not welcoming to their child because of their child's sexuality and wanted to show them that they had grown and developed and wanted to fully embrace them. It was a well-produced show, very beautiful, the music, the performances. I loved it. And I also want to give a shout out to my ladies in Utah, the newcomers, strong start to the game, Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jen Shaw, Miriam Crosby, Lisa and Meredith, because they're basically like Sam and Eric. They look very similar. I think they're being regarded similarly. It's just a delightful television program, and I couldn't more strongly recommend it. But my favorite reality show of the year will have to go to Flora's Lava, which is on Netflix. It's a competition show where you have to jump from obstacle to get across a room, and the entire ground is covered in this red water, which is being called lava. And it was so funny, so well hosted, so well paced that I binged it within a weekend.
Yeah,
and I don't really
like
shows like that much, but it was just so funny.
You wasted no time finishing that show.
Yeah, we reviewed it on like a Friday or Saturday. And by Monday, I was like, whoa, that was good. Like,
not episodes. Huh. Okay. Well,
done.
Check.
And I'm sad because I don't know if in a panty, floor is lava is very easy to film. So I don't know when we'll get it again soon. So if you're new to floor is lava, take your time watching it.
Or just speed through and imagine what the future could hold.
Fair. What about you, Beach?
So as you alluded to, I do have some honorable mentions for this year. First, Too Hot to Handle on Netflix. The absurd concept of bringing a lot of physically attractive people to an island resort and telling them we'll pay you money if you make no sexual contact for weeks.
With yourselves or each other.
Oh, that's right. And let's just say, even in the pilot episode, these people were struggling with that concept. Like, really struggling. So if you just want to watch hot people be strange, but in an entertaining way, check that out. And also, McMillions, a documentary. This was fascinating. It was on HBO, and it's about the McDonald's Monopoly game. And it turned out, through the 90s, there were people running a scam, so there were no legitimate winners of the million-dollar prizes. And this is the story of how the FBI figured out there was a team of people scamming the Monopoly game.
That feels like so long ago, Beach, but I distinctly remember an agent named Doug being a star.
Yeah, this was like his first big case because he was new to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes on a journey and they solved that mystery. But I didn't even know it was a mystery to be solved.
True. So what ended up being your favorite?
Lego Masters on Fox. You remember that one?
Yes.
I think we would have done well on that show. We would have practiced and coordinated well as a team. Not all the teams were meant to be teammates.
That's true. They had differing levels of experience. It was odd.
Yeah, they really just paired up people, just really grabbed some, threw them together, and said good luck. And it only worked well for really a few of them. But it was entertaining. I think all the contestants were fun. Some had those typical reality show tragic backgrounds. Some were just a married couple who wanted to have fun because they both like Legos. Some were actually architects. So you had a good mix. And I think Will Arnett did a good job as host. He had a lot of people come join him. And I'm ready for the next season. But I'm also not going to buy Legos. They're so expensive and I don't have space. It's fun to watch people go crazy building Lego structures.
That's true. It is something that I don't think I would do in my downtime, but it is enjoyable to watch it all come together.
Okay, me too. Our next genre is sci-fi and fantasy. Now, the interesting thing is we have the same pick.
Yes.
But before we get into that, while we pretty easily picked our favorite, there were so many shows this year that we wanted to just highlight that this was a great year for sci-fi and fantasy.
It was a great year for sci-fi and fantasy, and also a year clearly of reflection within the genre. So many shows that came out centered on this intersection of technology, humanity, and attempting to create utopia through those two things.
Yeah, we reviewed so many of these shows that look at how can we use technology and AI to improve the world. A lot of times, because it's a show and they want it to be interesting, something goes horribly wrong and we now need to fight back against technology.
That's why it all comes back to The Office when Dwight said you can't create robots with extension cords that are longer than 6 feet. You don't want them to get too far.
He's right. So definitely check out our reviews for shows like Humans, Brave New World, Next, Upload, Soulmate, Utopia Falls, Devs, Snowpiercer, Tales from the Loop, Star Trek Picard, Star Trek Lower Decks, Raised by Wolves, and So many more. Me too. We did a lot of sci-fi and fantasy this year.
A lot. So what was your favorite?
Our favorite.
Yes.
Lovecraft Country on HBO. What did you love about it?
I'll tell you what I loved and what I didn't love about Lovecraft.
Okay.
So I thought that at some points the storytelling was a little uneven. I thought that they could have done better, and the creators admitted to that by some of the queer storylines, a storyline involving a trans character. I think that the black women could have been treated a little bit better on that show. But aside from those big buckets, I would say that Lovecraft Country was this very cool exploration of magic and witchcraft and science and technology through the perspective of black people in Chicago, but also the Northeast and in the South, as they are contending with white supremacy and racism in the 1950s. And it was a really interesting show. It was very cool to look at, but then there was just this underlying message of, you see these monsters and these scary robots and you see these scary machines and you see these torture devices and all of these ghosts and hauntings and creepy crawlies. And throughout all of that, the ultimate villain and the scariest thing is racism and white supremacy. And it was just so well done in that regard. And I think put a really interesting narrative story on the legacy of racism and white supremacy.
Yeah, I think they really did a good job sticking to that message of white supremacy and people abusing power, resources, connections in order to continue white supremacy. And then we see Tick and Letty having to fight back against that. And as we go through the story, we see the history of how their families have been trying to fight back against that as well. And it's now leading up to this chance for them to reclaim what was taken from them and kind of start to repair their families and the family for all the people that have been oppressed.
Can you name some of the cast? Because they were so good.
Yes, we have Jonathan Majors as Tick. He did an amazing job leading this up. And he had Letty by his side, played by Journey Smollett. Some other highlights, Courtney B. Vance as George Freeman. We also had Jamie Chung. I wasn't expecting her as this character, Gia. We're not going to talk too much about her, but watch through the series for when she's introduced. Also, Michael K. Williams as Montrose Freeman. And then Ruby, Letty's sister, by Wonmi Masaku. And Anjanou Ellis, I really like Hippolyta's storyline. I think one of the cool things I want to mention is this is really all of sci-fi and fantasy. They blend so many genres.
Yes.
Me too, mention that there's the creepy and the horror and the monsters. There's also magic. There's also robots, like you said. And there's those science fiction elements that they really dive into in one episode.
There's even time travel.
Time travel.
Multiple storylines, timelines.
They really just blend it all together, and it sounds like too much in one series, but mm-hmm. it works well. And I think the way they're able to blend each episode together, where they kind of take that story as a chance to do a different genre, keeps things fresh.
I agree. All right, Beach. So what was your favorite animated show of 2020 that we reviewed?
Ooh, I'm going to say it was Cleopatra in Space. This is a Peacock show. It's exactly what you might think. The famous Cleopatra, but she's a young girl and she's taking into space. She meets aliens. She's going on adventures. It's also set in the future. We find a way to send her to the future. Don't worry. We're not rewriting the past and history. This could still happen one day. And I just thought it was like innocent fun. The story creator is making this for children. It's based off of a graphic novel series, but it's lighthearted. I think all of the characters are relatable and enjoyable, and there's action, and you get some nice lessons on life and working with people and friends. And I just really enjoyed it. What animated series spoke to you this year?
My vote goes to Star Trek Lower Decks. I thought I would dislike this show about the Cerritos, which is this sea-level ship of Starfleet. It seems like they're the not as great members of the organization. But Tawny Newsome as Beckett Mariner is just so good. And Beckett is this person that you're excited to follow. She's this badass ensign who refuses to be promoted until she figures herself out. And then she has this best friend, Boimler, played by Jack Quaid, who is conversely obsessed with promotion and wants his superiors to recognize him so badly. And that creates some fun in their dynamic where he challenges her to do better and want better for herself. She challenges him to just stop following the rules so much, trust his instincts because she is so good at the strategy and combat and all of that. And you can also just go all out with making space cool and silly when we're talking about an animated show. So in one of the episodes that I watched outside of the pilot, they have this dog that talks and can like turn into different shapes and all of these things. And I think in CGI, it would look kind of weird, all the things that they were doing with it. But within the universe of this animated show, it was just funny. Like it was just a good punchline.
So me too, we've made it to the end of our ranking for the best shows that came out in the year 2020. Now we have to tell our listeners what our top show was for this year. What one show made us say, okay, this is what 2020 TV is about.
What was yours?
The Flight Attendant.
Okay.
Now, I will say I'm still watching it. As of this recording, all the episodes are out. It has already been renewed for a second season, but I am enjoying this wild ride. It is fun seeing Kaley Cuoco in this flight attendant role as Cassie Bowden and watching her navigate this murder mystery and her navigate it so poorly is just...
so poorly. Shockingly poorly.
It's just entertaining because in your mind, you're like, can it get worse? And every scene, she makes it worse. Yes. And you like cringe, but your eyes are also glued to the screen.
Yes.
It's watching the longest car crash in history, but you're enjoying it. And I also think it's just well done. Like, this is really showing that streaming TV is offering us this great middle ground between the budgets and production costs we see on regular TV, on these national networks, versus what we're seeing in movie theaters when you kind of go in the middle, high budget, but like miniseries length, like 8 episodes, you can do some amazing storytelling, pull in some amazing actors, and give something worth watching at the tail end of 2020.
That's a really sweet review, Beach.
Thank you.
I, too, am really enjoying The Flight Attendant. And you and I have been catching up on the show.
We just caught up. You're one episode ahead. I'm going to catch up today.
Okay.
And I think this is going to be a show that we're going to remember for a while.
Shout out to Kaley Cuoco, because while Big Bang Theory wasn't exactly the show for me for all 56 seasons that it was on television, The Flight Attendant is fantastic, and I really have been enjoying it.
Big change for her.
Yes. That's true. What was her character's name on The Big Bang Theory? I don't think I would see this for her. Penny. Penny would not make all these mistakes.
Well, I guess not.
No, Penny was a little bit more street smart.
That's true. Step one, she wouldn't have been doing the same things as Cassie.
Yes.
Okay, me too. Now it's your turn. What is your pick for the overall best show of the year?
Okay, this feels like it might be a touch controversial. Ooh. Because it is a show for young adults.
You but love unpopular opinions.
Okay. This is a weird theme that you're pulling up. I do not like this little Regina George routine you're doing. I'm is not going to work. I am not girl. Your Katie. Mm-mm. Don't do this. So.
I'm a nice person.
Sure, Regina.
So, wow. Regina was popular.
You see what you value? Look at yourself.
Okay, so, Katie, new girl. Do you even know how this world works?
I don't want to be Katie. In any case, my favorite show of 2020 is Never Have I Ever. It is a show starring teens, but I would argue it was just my favorite show that we reviewed. It was my favorite show of the year. It was one that I binged and my friends binged, and it was fun to discuss. It is created by Mindy Kaling, and it's about Devi, played by Maitreyi Ramakrishnan, and she's a 15-year-old girl in L.A., who had a really difficult first year of high school and is trying to make a comeback in her sophomore year, and chaos ensues. Her crush, played by Darren Barnett, who is remarkably older than her and looks remarkably older than her, but he has my favorite crush name that I've heard on a show, Paxton Hall Yoshida. Like, that's a great name to just say to yourself over and over. Oh, Paxton Hall Yoshida, the crush of my high school dreams. And then...
Wow, you're like reliving your high school days through her.
Well, not quite. I don't think
you
that
you didn't have a Paxton Hall Yoshida?
I didn't have a Paxton Hall Yoshida, and I didn't have her rage issues, which are so fun to watch. And my high school experience was not narrated by John McEnroe, actually John McEnroe. Wow. Narrating all of her thoughts and feelings. Okay, Beach. A lot of shots coming my way for no reason.
But this is a great pick. I do remember you immediately falling in love with this series.
It was so good. And I think it's already been renewed for another season. And you get to see her have these multiple conflicts. It's dealing with her crushes, her competitor, Ben, played by Jaren Lewison, where she is trying to be the best student, like most academically involved, best on the debate team, blah, blah, blah. And then you also see her navigating her friendships. You see her navigating her crushes. You see her balancing life as someone who at home is part of this Indian culture, but then at school is more Americanized, and then seeing what the balance is between those two things and determining her priorities. And there are even these larger questions of religion. And all of that is wrapped up in this very, very funny show. And I'm just so impressed by what Mindy Kaling did with that show.
Nice. And you'll have more to watch in the future.
Yes, I couldn't more strongly recommend Never Have I Ever. That's another one that came out in April. So it was super popular when it came out, but I think lots of developments happened since then. And that's another one that I think fell off radars a little bit. So I'm just excited to get to watch more of it.
Well, me too. We've gotten through literally hundreds of shows this year. We've narrowed it down to our favorite picks, plus some honorable mentions. Do you have any final closing thoughts for our listeners?
I would say that this has been a great year of television that I have very much enjoyed reviewing so many television shows with you.
Aw.
And I appreciate our listeners because I almost said, as you know, like you're not the co-host of this show. As you know, Beach, every other week we're doing this new format.
Really?
Well, not so new anymore. Where we have an episode that our listeners recommend. So it's not necessarily new shows. It's shows that could have come out this year, could have come out many years ago, and y'all just want us to watch those. And those have been super fun too. So it's just cool to get to balance that. And I'm grateful that our listeners get to be such a big part of the show.
That's a good format to incorporate the listeners, as you know, they like to give us suggestions.
You're being so snarky with me. I don't understand why you woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
Because, listeners, before we started, Me Too was picking on me about musicals. Oh, see, she can't even deny it.
I was not picking on you. I was recommending a musical to you because I know you love them.
Anyway, listeners, it has been a great year reviewing shows with Me Too. Watching your recommendations for shows, I also want to thank you guys for supporting us throughout the year. We know we have our consistent listeners. It's been a big year for growth for us. It's thanks to you guys that we were able to win the Best Comedic Podcast from the Black Pod Awards. That's because you guys are listening and enjoy our content. And, you know, I'm just really excited to keep this going next year. And I hope that all you listeners will stick with us.
Even if we break up because of BJ's attitude. Well, BJ, okay. Where can people find more episodes of the Pilot Podcast?
Before our, I guess, an eventual breakup, head to our website at thepilotpodcast.com. That's where you can find all of our episodes where we're still friends working together. You can also subscribe to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, for now at least. Michu, where can people, at least in the present, follow us on social media?
For the next few months, at least, you can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram at ThePilotPod, and you can send thoughts, feelings, recommendations for how to strengthen a friendship, shows that you want us to watch, to askthepilotpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye, and have a happy new year.